Yasodhananda Vrajajanaranjana Jamuna Tirapanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Janabalava Giri Vandari Yasodhananda Vrajajanaranjana Yamuna Tira Panchari Jaya Radhe Shyam Jaya Radhe Shyam Jaya Radhe Shyam Jaya Radhe Shyam Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada
The Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Shri Radha Shri Vasudi Gaura Bhakti Vannikiya Shri Shri Radha Shama Sunda Gopa Kovina Shama Kungarara Kandigida Govardhan Ki Jai Granthraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Murari Gupta Prabhu Ki Jai Shri Kartik Prati Ki Jai Gaura Bhimanandi All glories to the Assembly of All glories to the Assembly of All glories to the Assembly of All glories to the Lord of Sri Sri Guru and Guru Amma. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Boy, do we have a lot to cover today. we're going to chant the Sanskrit response. We're going to chant the Sanskrit together instead of responsibly, just to try and make up for a little time and save a little time and spend the rest of the time in some katha about everything we've got to talk about today. It's a wonderful thing about Krishna consciousness. It's constantly growing, constantly expanding. There's no end to it. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, text, chapter 17, text number 3. Yes, all together. Gamcha dharma durgam dinam grisham sudra padahatam vivatsham ashuvandanam shamam yava shamichatam gam dakar cha also dharma durgam. Beneficial because one can draw religion from her. Dinam, now rendered poor. Grisham, distressed. Sudra, the lower caste. Padam Mahatam, beaten on the legs. Vivatsam, without any calf. Ashruvandanam, with tears in her eyes. Shamam, very weak. Yavasham, grass. Itchatim, as if desiring to eat some grass. Translation. Although the cow is beneficial because one can draw religious principles from her, she was now rendered poor and calfless. Her legs were being beaten by a sudra. There were tears in her eyes, and she was distressed and weak. She was hankering after some grass in the field. The next symptom of the age of Kali is the distressed condition of the cow. Milking the cow means drawing the principles of religion in a liquid form. The great rishis and munis would live only on milk. Srila Sukadeva Goswami would go to a householder while he was milking a cow, and he would simply take a little quantity of it for sustenance. Even 50 years ago, no one would deprive a sadhu of a quart or two of milk, and every householder would give milk like water. For a Sanatanist, follower of the Vedic principles, it is the duty of every householder to have cows and bulls as household paraphernalia, unless you live in the suburbs. Not only for drinking milk, but also for deriving religious principles. The Sanatanist worships cows on religious principles and respects brahmanas. The cow's milk is required for the sacrificial fire, and by performing sacrifices, the householder can be happy. The cow's milk not only is beautiful to look at, but also gives satisfaction to the cow. The cow's calf, is not only beautiful to look at, but also gives satisfaction to the cow, as so she delivers as much milk as possible. In the Kali Yuga, the calves are separated from the cows as early as possible for purposes which will not be mentioned in these pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The cow stands with tears in her eyes. The Sudra milkman draws milk from the cow artificially, and when there is no milk, the cow is sent to be slaughtered. These greatly sinful acts are responsible for all the troubles in present society. People do not know what they are doing in the name of economic development. The influence of Kali will keep them in the darkness of ignorance. Despite all endeavors for peace and prosperity, they must try to see the cows and the bulls happy in all respects. Foolish people do not know how one earns happiness by making the cows and the bulls happy, but it is a fact by the law of nature. Let us take it from the authority of Srimad Bhagavatam and adopt the principles of total happiness for humanity. Om Jnana Tamadandasya Jnanjana Shilakaya Chaksuhun Maritam Yunatasmai Sri Guru Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pandum Lam Jayati Agirin Yakripa Tamaham Bande Sri Guru Vinitarnam Avancha Kapati Vibhishtra Kripa Sandhavahe Vacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Sigaradha Shubhasa Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama, my only constant companion, my only friend, my guru, my wealth, that which has delivered me, my great fortune, the source of my good luck, the form through which I taste pleasure, my obeisances unto you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. This verse is just so powerful. One thing that's very, very attractive in this verse is that what was the cow desiring? A calf and some grass. The sentence right here at the end of the translation of the verse, she was hankering after some grass in the field. Very simple. Doesn't take much to satisfy the cow. She just wants a little grass. But here we see in the translation horrible things being done, and then Prabhupada in the purport speaks more directly, but in spite of her being beaten, of her calf being taken from her, of her being separated from the simple pleasure of eating grass, these things are bad enough, but Prabhupada will not even go into a description of what happens when they separate the calf from the mother. He says, this is not suitable for the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. We can only imagine how horrible these activities must be if the Bhagavatam will not even give us direction on them. We know the direction. The direction is there in so many other forms. But the activities of those who are uninformed in the principles of Vedic life, the activities of those who are unaware that the cow represents the very nature, the very essence of religious principles, and we don't know the cow is Krishna's best friend. Krishna loves the cows. You know, if I come over to your house and you've got a little yappy dog and comes yapping at me and I kick it across the room, I'm probably going to be shown the door pretty quickly. What to speak of if I take it out in the backyard and, as Prabhupada says, not mentionable in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. But this is what people are doing. They have no knowledge. What does the Prabhupada says here? They do not know that taken on the authority of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that the principle of total happiness is how to take care of the cows next. It's as simple as that. Such an amazing verse. This type of lifestyle, this type of activity that is contrary to the principles of Srimad Bhagavatam is the very reason Srimad Bhagavatam has given to us. Is the very reason Srila Prabhupada has come to this Western world. Is the very reason that the Acharyas want us to Nitya Bhagavata Sevaya, regularly keep ourselves in touch with these scriptures, regularly hear from the pure devotee, regularly read the books. These are the essential points that are there for us to deliver ourselves. We're no better than all these descriptions of these people in here. This is the life we've all come from. This is the age we've all been born into. But by adopting the principles of Srimad Bhagavatam, we can get some relief, we can get some salvation, we can get some happiness. And the use of the word here, happiness, the total happiness of humanity, not the total happiness for dogs and cats. We know what makes the dogs and cats very happy. You throw them some dead flesh, you flick a red light on the wall, you let them lick themselves, and they're very, very happy. They're very satisfied like that, you know. But that's, I was just listening, what was it, this morning or yesterday morning? Prabhupada was saying that the difference in human life is that we have the ability, we have the responsibility to pursue the higher principles, to make ourselves God conscious. Otherwise, what are we doing? We're like the cat just chasing some illusory little red light off in the future and hoping that once we get it, we'll get happiness. But we never get it. It's not possible. Because someone else is controlling that. The cat thinks, wow, that light on the wall, boy, I can just, you know. In the meantime, you're over here controlling the whole thing and enjoying the heck out of this little scene. This is what Maya's doing to us. Maya has her hand gripped firmly on us and is just enjoying toying with us. Prabhupada gives the example of a cat and a mouse. You know, the mouse thinks, oh, it's gotten away a little bit. But the cat's just slapping the mouse around. We've all had this experience, seeing a cat with a mouse. And they, like, take great pleasure in just torturing the poor thing, you know? All right, let it think it's going, oh, bring it back, slap it around back and forth between its paws, you know, put it in its mouth, throw it on the floor. I mean, this is how it gets. This is how we're being treated. This is exactly how we're being treated. Because we think that that happiness is like that illusion off in the distance. But here the Bhagavatam is giving us a very simple standard for happiness. Very easy way to become free from all these things. This is the age we live in. We can't avoid that. The qualities of this age, the detriments of this age, the impurities of this age, they're all there. They're not going to go away. But what we can do is protect ourselves. Prabhupada says before the person goes out into the battlefield where the contamination is, where the epidemic is, they inoculate themselves so that they're protected. So our inoculation is the holy name against the age of Kali. This is the way we do it. Srimad Bhagavatam, gathering here like this. Where else do you see, what other church in this community of Alachua do you see on a Wednesday morning has this many people in there for services? It doesn't happen. So this is because we have the understanding from Prabhupada what will benefit our life, what will give us a positive direction. So, I mean, this verse that I say, it's just power packed. It's one of those verses that you just read it and you think, wow, you know, so much instruction is here. But so much instruction is also there in the life of Murari Gupta. Murari Gupta, all the Shastras refer to Murari Gupta as one of the most intimate associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As a matter of fact, Murari Gupta kept very, very detailed notes. about the activities of Mahaprabhu, particularly in his early leelas. And this was called the Chaitanya Charita. And this was one of the three major books that were produced for the pastimes of the Lord. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami, he talks about the highly spiritual qualifications and professional qualifications as well of Murari Gupta. He mentions that he was a very, very prominent and respected Ayurvedic doctor. And he's Prabhupada gives a nice example of his doctoring skills, if you will. This is in the purport to the 10th chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Murari Gupta was an ideal grihastha, for he was a great devotee of Lord Ramchandra and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By practicing as a physician, he maintained his family and at the same time satisfied Lord Chaitanya to the best of his abilities. This is the ideal of household life. The ideal of household life, just do the best you can. The best we can by the association of each other and by the instructions of Srila Prabhupada is very simple for us. Prabhupada continues. Murari Gupta could treat both the bodily and spiritual disease because he was a physician by profession and a great devotee of the Lord in terms of spiritual advancement. This is an example of service to humanity. Everyone should know there are two kinds of diseases in human society. One disease, which is called adhyatmika, or the material disease, pertains to this body. But the main disease is the disease of spirit. The living entity is eternal. But somehow or another, when in contact with the material energy, the living entity is subjected to the repetition of birth, death, old age, and disease. The physicians of the modern day should learn a lesson from Murari Gupta. We all have the experience, especially as you get to a certain age, of regularly seeing. I remember I was this age. I mean, you never went to the doctor. Hardly ever you go to the doctor. When you get this age, you go to the doctor pretty often. You know, you get this ache and that ache and this problem, this isn't working right, and that, you know. That's the nature of the body. The body is breaking down. That's here again, back to the verse of today. That's the illusion of happiness in this world. This body's going to give me unlimited happiness. I'm sorry, it's not. Just wait till you get old and you'll see. There are many lessons while you're young, but if you don't believe them, then just wait till you get old. You see, this body is not going to give you any pleasure. Anyway, we go to the doctor, and the doctor says, okay, pokes you here, sticks you there, feels you there, pinches you there, you know, and then gives some medicine, and okay, you'll get better. But we don't get better. We may get better from that disease, but then some other disease comes. You know, so. But if while the doctor's doing that, he's got a little bhajan playing in the background in the office, or, you know, tells you what he heard on the lecture that morning, or maybe has some books in his waiting room, and you can read a little something. So, okay, so there's a doctor that's giving you the real cure for your disease. The Prabhupada says this is how physicians should actually behave, like Murari Gupta. Now, interesting, we know from not only Kavi Karnapur, but from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they've both written books identifying personalities of Krishna Lila to Gaura Lila. And it's interesting. In Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's book, at the back of it, there is a table, if you will, a chart, telling who the person was, and then who Kavi Karnapur says they were in Krishna Lila, and who Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says they were in Krishna Lila. 98% of the time, they're both the same. Occasionally, they have a difference of opinion. And then you can read up on that person and kind of find out the details there. Sometimes these personalities are multiple individuals in one form. This is the spiritual nature. If as a material personality, I have multiple people in my body, they call that a disease, and you're usually crazy, and they try to treat you to get rid of it. But in the spiritual sense, multiple spiritual personalities can reside with no conflict in one body. So at any rate, in that book, The Gaura Guna Desha Deepika by Kavi Karnapur, he points out that Murari Gupta was Hanuman in Ramchandra's Leela. And this puts an interesting dynamic on his relationship with Mahaprabhu, because as an incarnation of Hanuman, you can guess who his Ishtadeva was? Lord Ramchandra. And very, very devoted to Lord Ramchandra. To the point that he couldn't divide his devotion. Mahaprabhu was encouraging him, you should worship Krishna. Take up the worship of Radha and Krishna. Rai Gupta stayed up all night one night trying to, you know, take this devotion he had elsewhere. He was not able to do so. And he went back in great anxiety to Mahaprabhu the next morning, confessing this. Mahaprabhu said, yes, I was just doing this to test you. This shows that you were the greatest devotee. Now, the interesting name, Murari Gupta's name, of course, Gupta means hidden. So there are certain aspects of his personality, certain aspects of his incarnation, of his activities, that were hidden. And it mentions in Chaitanya Bhagavat that what was actually hidden was that Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Dev, had taken up residence in his heart. And that this was the hidden factor of Murari Gupta's life. Now, his activities as a physician, as an Ayurvedic doctor, were not just an offshoot. He came from a long line of Ayurvedic physicians. All of his family, they were all from Sri Hatta. One of these days, it's been a thought of mine for some time to, if I ever get the chance, to sit down and do a chart of all the absolutely astounding devotees that come from Sri Hatta. I mean, the list is just endless, and they're just amazing devotees. There's certain places in Bengal around Mahaprabhu's Leela that just so many devotees have come from those areas. At any rate, Sri Hatta is where his family on came from, and they were all very well-respected devotees and physicians. And eventually he moved to Sridhar Mayapur, to the area there. And he was part of the, as I mentioned, the early pastimes of Mahaprabhu. And very, very successful. He was able to support his family very nicely and generously take care of other Vaishnavas. And, in this way, I mean, if we look at the activity of Hanuman during his Leela, there was a bit of that doctoring skill, if you will. He went to the Himalayas and got that mountain, you know, to bring the herb back for the salvation of Lakshman. Of course, wasn't sure exactly which herb. I just take the whole mountain. We have that famous deity of Hanuman. You know, you see this deity very frequently at Govardhan Hill. This deity of Hanuman there. Of course, well, that's a whole other story. I won't go down there. You know, we're trying to stay focused a little bit here today. But Hanuman has an interesting relationship with Govardhan Hill there. So, at any rate, in this way, when Mahaprabhu came, Hanuman came in that form as Murari Gupta and continued in this art that he had from his previous life. You know, so in the pastimes with Mahaprabhu in his early years, Murari Gupta was a similar age. He wasn't like an elder, like, you know, his parents or Dvaitacharya, grandparent, or, you know, something like that. And they were in the same class together at Gangadas Pandit's school. And Murari Gupta was a disciple of Chandrasekhar Acharya. And Murari Gupta's particular well-known quality was his immense humility. And he was, although he was a little senior to Mahaprabhu in the class, you know, I mean, whether one's in the 10th grade or the 12th grade or the 11th grade, you know, still in the same school age together, you know. He would often debate with Nimai Pandit. I remember when I was in high school, I joined the debate and speaking club, you know, and we would go to different schools and have these tournaments, and, you know, you had to kind of, you know, but in Bengal at this time, particularly in Navadvip, this was the art form. This was what those in knowledge, this is what the pundits did. They debated. And so Murari would often, as a part of their school activities and other extracurricular things, would debate with Nimai Pandit. And he would lose every time. Now, you know, if you've got, just to use an analogy, if you've got a football game and the one team, every time they play another team, loses to that team, you get a little bit of a rivalry going. And so this was what was going on here. There was this bit of rivalry between Nimai Pandit and Murari Gupta. And one day it got very, very heated. And there was some hollering back and forth, which resulted into a little bit of pushing back and forth, which resulted into dragging the other into the Ganga. This all took place on the banks of the Ganga when they were having this. And a little bit of, not exactly wrestling in a friendly way, but yeah. And all the water in the Ganga got churned up and all kinds of muddy water came up. And the Brahmins who were there trying to bathe couldn't bathe because now they're getting all this muddy water on it. The ladies that were there trying to peacefully collect water for the home, they couldn't collect the water because it was all getting all this mud and debris. So it was really causing quite a disturbance in this way. But it was all in joking and, you know, fun. There was no animosity there. But as Nimai was prone to do with several of his youthful associates, he would tease Murari Gupta mercilessly. You know, with the guys, that's, you know, kind of the thing. You know, you get a bunch of guys together and one of them is going to be the butt of all jokes, you know. And everybody's just going, you know, and it's all in fun and games. I mean, sometimes it's not, but, you know, usually in this kind of scenario particularly, it's all fun and games, but it goes on every time you meet each other, you know. So this happens like this. This was the nature of Mahaprabhu's relationship with Murari Gupta. One day, Mahaprabhu revealed himself to Murari Gupta. And he said something very interesting to him. He said, there is a sannyasi whose name is Prakasananda, who lives in Kasi. And he is cutting me into little bits and pieces. What an interesting thing to say. Mahaprabhu continued. He said, he teaches Vedanta, but he does not accept my form. I have caused much difficulty for him, but he does not understand. The fool does not realize that the unlimited universes are contained within my body. He is so arrogant that he denies this point. I tell you the truth, Murari, for you are my servant. Anyone who does not accept my divine form is bound for ruin. This is a pretty serious statement by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very rarely during his pre-sannyas times did Mahaprabhu put forth his divinity, put forth his position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, put forth his importance. This is one of those situations. Anyone that does not accept my form is bound for ruin. May we never fall into that category and always worship the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So another time, because there are many different instances of conversations between them, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very, very happy to have an explanation, conversation with Murari Gupta. And he reached out in the friendship of that conversation and touched Murari Gupta with his hand. And when he did, Murari Gupta's entire body became filled with ecstasy. And Murari Gupta thought that this can in no way be the impact of someone who's an ordinary human being. Who could impart such a divine feeling? Who can understand the Vedas the way he does so quickly? Who can attain such a level of scholarship? And whose simple touch brings pure ecstasy and pleasure? So, you know, this was his appreciation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Another time, in the sense of this kind of teasing between them, Mahaprabhu was, it was one of the debate classes, and he was, Nimai Pandit was always first in the class, and he had defeated everyone. And all the other students were forced to accept this defeat in this debate. But Murari Gupta, this particular time, he wouldn't accept defeat, and neither would he engage in any further debate with Mahaprabhu. Nimai Pandit became very, very angry. He said, "You're simply a doctor. What is the use of you studying these subjects? Your business is simply to collect leaves and creepers and heal the sick. Grammatical science is very obtuse. You won't find anything here to help you in dealing with mucus and bile. So just be quiet." Now, for someone that doesn't understand the divine pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, these things become a little painful. And indeed, Mahāgupta was hurt by this. It mentions that hearing this challenge from Nimai Pandit, Mahāgupta was hurt and then became angry at the Lord, but did not show his anger. He simply gave a heated gaze at Nimai Pandit. The Vaishnava's ornament is humility, and as I mentioned earlier, this was the crown ornament of Mahāgupta. So he didn't say anything. He just, and it mentions that Nimai Pandit, when he got this gaze from Mahāgupta, he thought he would melt on the spot. So this was, you know, part of the nature of their relationship. Now, when Mahāprabhu returned from Gaya, he began to manifest all these ecstatic symptoms. We know the storyline. And this is when Mahāgupta's unfaltering devotion to Chaitanya Mahāprabhu began to manifest. When he saw that Mahāprabhu was crying in intense love at the house of Suklambar Pandit during one of the kirtans, he became very, very much struck with wonder. And in the evenings, the kirtans at Srivasangam, Mahāgupta pleased Lord Chaitanya and facilitated his moods by singing different sweet melodies to the Bhagavatam. We know that this was one of the qualities of Raghunath Das Goswami, actually why, one of the reasons why Mahāprabhu sent Raghunath Das from Jagannath Puri to Vrindavan when Rupa Goswami discovered the Govindaji deity. He sent Raghunath and he said, don't do anything like writing books or anything. You simply speak the Bhagavatam, because Raghunath Bhatt was known for being able to speak it in four very, very beautiful melodies. So at any rate, Mahāgupta sang like this, and he was also very expert at singing. And he could dance very nicely too. So in this way, he was always involved there. Now, if you have a relationship with Chaitanya Mahāprabhu, this means you have a relationship with Nityananda. And there was such a relationship between Mahāgupta and Nityananda Prabhu. And at the house of Srivas, here again, many of these divine pastimes took place at Srivas' house, Mahāprabhu taught to Murari all the details of his own divine nature, but also that of Nityananda, and what the etiquette was in the relationship between the two of them. Because there is an etiquette in understanding Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. So the story goes that one day, Mahāgupta came to the house of Srivas, and upon arriving first, he offered obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahāprabhu, and he offered obeisances to Nityananda. And when he got up from offering obeisances, Mahāprabhu looked at him and said, "Murari, you have made a mistake. You have offered obeisances in the opposite order. There's currently a discussion going on about how to properly offer arti, who gets what first and like that. So, not a new discussion we can see from this." So, this was Mahāprabhu's instructions. "You're doing it wrong." So, Murari said, "My dear Prabhu, as you inspire me, so I have behaved." So he put it back on Mahāprabhu. That's all right. We'll leave it for now, but later you will understand everything. So they had their time together, and Mahāgupta left, went home, took his meal, and lay down to take a little rest after the meal. Common activity. So at night, he had a dream. And in that dream, he saw the chief personality of the Mahabhagavats, Nityananda, His cloth was tied up around his waist like a wrestler. And he was proceeding in the front. And above his head was the great many-hooded serpent, Sikshanaga. And in his two hands were the plow and the club. As if we have the plow in Balaram's hand today. Nityananda had appeared in this dream just in the form of Balaram. And following him, the important explanation here from Chaitanya Bhagavan, with a peacock feather in his head, was Sri Vishwambar. From this dream, it was understood to Murari that Lord Nityananda was none other than Lord Haladhar. In the dream, Mahaprabhu called sweetly to him, "Murari, Murari, now do you understand? If you breach this proper conduct, then how will it look for me?" So, in the depths of this dream, Murari Gupta called out, "Nityananda, Nityananda." He had tears in his eyes at this time. So his wife heard him in his sleep. She thought he was having a nightmare or something. He's calling out in the dream and rolling like that. And she, "Krishna, Krishna, Prabhu, wake up, Prabhu, wake up." And Murari Gupta woke up. He understood clearly the greatness of Nityananda and Nityananda's actual superior position. It is, after all, Chaitanya Bhagavat explains, Nityananda who explains to us and reveals to us the access and mercy to Lord Gauranga. Without Inanda's mercy, one cannot get the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prabhupada has lectured on this point many, many, many times. So Murari, from this dream, he can understand what Mahaprabhu was telling him about when he offered obeisances first to him and then offered obeisances to Inanda. So the next day at the house, when he came before them again, he went first to Inanda and offered his obeisances. And then he went to Chaitanya and offered his obeisances. Mahaprabhu said, "Yes, now you understand." He was very, very happy. So, and there are many, many other stories, like many, many other stories. But we also want to speak a bit today about Kartik. All you had to do was be in the temple this morning, you can understand something special. There's usually not that many devotees. Kartik is a very important time. Why is it important for us to follow Kartik Vrata? Numerous times Prabhupada has indicated something we should do. There are many, many different discussions, morning walks, lectures, conversations, you know, it's always there. While Prabhupada may not have given us very, very detailed information, we do have his instructions that it is important for us to follow it. Now, Sanatana Goswami, in his Hari Bhakti Vilas, he gives us the following quote from the Padma Purana. "If one neglects to perform the Kartik Vrata, all of their pious merits amassed in the past will be burned to ashes. His study of the Vedas will become futile. And his performance of japa, charity, and austerity will bear no fruit." Very strong thing. Now that statement alone should be sufficient for us. Okay, I'll do something. We'll get to that later, but I'll do something. But we shouldn't be driven to follow Kartik out of a fear of reprisal. That's not our mood. Other religions, that's their mood, you know. Hellfire and damnation if you don't do it. Our mood is bhakti. Yo me bhakta prayachati. Krishna encourages. You just deal with bhakti. So here we also see some glories of Kartik and some benefits of following. So we can take that side of it as well. One of the most important functions of the year is the Ujja Vrata. Ujja Vrata is observed in the month of Kartik, which is October and November. Especially in Vrindavan, there is a specific program for temple worship of the Lord in this Damodar form. Damodar refers to Krishna as being bound by a rope with his mother Jasoda. It is said that just as Lord Damodar is very dear to his devotees, so the month of Damodar, or Kartik, is very dear to them as well. The execution of devotional service during Ujjvavrata in the month of Kartik is especially recommended to be performed in Mathura. The system is still followed by many devotees. They will go to Mathura or Vrindavan and stay there during the month of Kartik, unless the world restrictions have got them stuck where they are. Another subject. Specifically, to perform devotional services during this period. In the Padma Purana, it is said, Lord may offer liberation or material happiness to a devotee, but after some devotional service has been executed, particularly in Mathura, particularly during the month of Kartik, the devotee wants only to obtain pure devotional service to the Lord. The purport is that the Lord does not award devotional service to ordinary persons who are not serious about it. But even such unserious persons who execute devotional service according to the regulative principles during the month of Kartik and within the jurisdiction of Mathura in India, Vrindavan, are very easily awarded the Lord's personal service. Now, this is a quote from Srila Prabhupada in the Nectar Devotion. This should be encouraging to us. Even those who are not serious about devotional service, still, such unserious persons, Prabhupada says, can execute devotional service during the month of Kartik and get full benefit. Okay, there's our cue card. Boom, we're ready. All right, let's do it. You know, over here we get a little bit of fear. Gee, if you don't do Kartik, you know, this is useless. That's a waste of time. You're not going to get any work. But over here, okay, you're not so serious. You're not. But just do some service during Kartik and you get that. So this is the importance of doing something during Kartik. Now, sometimes Prabhupada would like to have a little bit of fun with his disciples, knowing their interest in doing things but their inabilities to execute them. So in 72, there was a conversation in Vrindavan. And during this conversation, there were several points in it where Prabhupada would just laugh. So the first devotee asked, so, Prabhupada, today is the beginning of Ujjvavrata. Kartik starts. Can you describe for us what it is and how it should be observed? Prabhupada said, Ujjvavrata? Yes. You should chant Hare Krishna 24 hours a day for 1 month. And then he laughs. That's all. Nothing else is needed. And one devotee starts to chant. And Prabhupada said, yes, yes. Do not sleep for that month. Do not eat for that month. That is Ujjvavrata. Can you do it? And then the devotee says, well, I don't know Srila Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada laughs very loudly. So, you know, it's there. And Prabhupada would sometimes go, oh, they're not going to be able to do these things. Yeah. But we do get some encouragement. In the Mathura Mahatmya of Rupa Goswami, he quotes Narada Muni, who's speaking from the Kartik Mahatmya. In the Kartik Mahatmya, Narada says, by bathing in the sacred places and giving charity during the month of Kartik, a person in any country, even the United States of America, attains piety equal to performing an Agnihotra Jagma. In a sacred place, bathing and worshipping during the month of Kartik gives one the same benefit as being on the same planet as Lord Krishna. During the month of Kartik, when the Lord Hari enjoys his Damodar Lila pastimes, one who performs service during that month gets the supreme destination. As Prayag should be served in the month of Magh, and the Ganga in the month of Ashaka, so Mathura should be served in the month of Kartik. Nothing is better. So, well, great, I'd love to go to Mathura. Matter of fact, I'm supposed to be there right now, but it's not happening. Fortunately, we know Prabhupada said that all of our temples are as good as Vrindavan, if our consciousness is like Vrindavan. Our homes are as good as Vrindavan, if our consciousness is like Vrindavan. Now, we'll also find sufficient evidence here following this Kartik Vrata from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, of course, preached very broadly to a wide variety of people that were not just simple, you know, Vedic Brahmins. And so he mentions here, the observance of the Kartik Vrata is one of the most important things for Vaishnavas. The rules are this. Every day during this month, one should rise up in the last hour of the night, purify oneself, and perform Mangal Arati of Sri Krishna. Then after bathing in the morning, one should worship Lord Damodar. At night, one should light bright lamps filled either with ghee or sesame oil and place them in these places, the Lord's temple, around the base of a tulsi plant, and in the sky. During the month of Kartik, one should eat only Mahaprasad. That means food offered to the Lord. Everything offered to the Lord is Mahaprasad. One should renounce excessive eating and excessive sleeping, and should avoid oil, wine, and bell metal utensils. After honoring Prasad, one should hear or recite scriptures headed by the Srimad Bhagavatam in the company of Vaishnavas. There should be incessant Hari Kirtan and Smarnam. Thus, one can pass the entire month in the observance of such regulations. When it comes time to break the fast, one should first purify themselves, engage in Hari Kirtan, and then serve the Lord's Prasad to one's dear, most intimate Vaishnava associates. And then one may honor Prasad himself. So, very simple there. Now, what is the chief mood, the chief aim during Kartik Vrata? To please Sri Sri Radha Damodar. Actually, the reason it's called Urja Vrata is because a name for Srimati Radharani is Urjeshwari, the queen of Urjavrata. So you want to know who's your predominating deity, who's your Ishtadev for the month of Kartik, it's Srimati Radharani. Only because of this, in order to establish pleasure of Sri Sri Radha Damodar, Satyavrata Muni concludes his Damodarastaka with this prayer, Namo Radhikaya Twadiya Prayaya. My obeisances under Srimati Radha, you are the most beloved. So by this statement, we can understand that even the great sages understand what is the focus of the month of Kartik. Now, as mentioned, among the 64 branches of activities performed by Gaudiya Vaishnavas, this following of Urja Vrata is one of the most important of those. It mentions that in this way, if one follows this vrata, those persons who attempt by performing bhajan but are not aware of the meaning of shastras will remain in the indulgences. Mahaprabhu himself observed this practice while situated in many different places and was thereby and has thereby taught by his own example. So we can see all of our acharyas throughout our history and our Vaishnava line have followed this. So what do we do? Well, the first thing is that we offer lamps to the form of Damodar. We have little Damodar Jasoda deity there on the altar that will be there for the whole month. Many of us have that same form in our home. My wife is very, very devoted to this. 2-3 days ago, where's the Damodar deity? He's got to be brought out, you know, and just bring him out and put him up and got to get. So that's all done. Everybody has that in their home. Interestingly enough, during the whole month, we sing this Damodar Astaka. It's the fifth day of Damodar month, of Kartik month, by the way, that the tying up of Damodar happens at Damodar Lila. The glories of Kartik, it is considered to be the best, the most pure of all purifiers and the most glorious of all months. Kartik month is particularly dear to Sri Krishna. It is a month full of bhakti vatsalya. Any vrata, even the smallest, will yield huge results. Just like when one performs a fire jaga, a homa, if one adds tulsi branches to that fire, 1,000 times the benefit. If one performs devotional service during the month of Kartik in Braj, 1,000 times the benefit. So here, even the slightest little thing will give huge results. The effect of performing Kartik Vrata lasts for 100 lifetimes. I don't know how many you plan to be around in this world, but if you do Kartik, Whereas ordinary vrittas, the result only lasts for one lifetime. Just as Krishna says in the Gita that his month is November and December, Radhika holds the month of Kartik very special for that reason as well. Rupa Goswami often refers to Radharani as Kartika Devi, the predominating deity of the month of Kartik. The Puranas profusely glorify any activities performed during this month. Because the month is very dear to Krishna, by performing austerities, restraining sense gratification, and performing increased devotional activities, one becomes very dear to the Lord. As Satya Yuga is the best of all yugas, as the Vedas are the best of all scriptures, as the Ganga is the best of all rivers, so Kartik is the best of all months and most dear to Lord Krishna. Okay, great. We've established all this. We know why we should do it. We know what we, you know, how important it is, who has done it. So what do we do? That's the question. Austerity is the main life and soul of a Brahmin. And Kartik is about doing some kind of austerity. I was asked by one devotee who was corresponding with me, why is it so important to take a cold bath? I don't think I can take a cold bath, you know? Well, for some people, taking a cold bath is just a way of life. I know other very advanced devotees that wouldn't go to a cold bath if you paid them to. So the cold bath isn't the issue. The principle of austerity is the issue. What's austerity for one person may not be austerity for another person. So you have to examine yourself and see what is the austerity that can be performed in your life. Now, there are some examples given to us, Padma Purana particularly. Here we go. So, rise very early in the morning during Brahma Muhurta, bathe, cold water or not, your choice. Chant extra japa, 10 Mangal Arti. If you're not able to attend Mangal Arti, we have this amazing technology with these cameras all here, and Mangal Arti is right there to your home. So, you can attend that way if you're not able physically to come. Hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, especially the pastimes of the Lord in Vrindavan. Daily in association of exalted Vaishnavas. By regularly reading Srimad Bhagavatam during the Kartik month, one gets the benefit of reading all 18 Puranas. Who needs to read the 18 Puranas? Just read Bhagavatam during Kartik. Continuously chant japa and kirtan, doing Krishna Nam with extra rounds or kirtan at home with the family. Perform Tulsi Arti. Give ghee lamps to Krishna and sing the Damodar Astaka, as well as give charity to devotees. One must maintain celibacy for the month of Kartik. One should avoid eating any grains cooked by non-devotees. And then it gives a list of foods not to eat. Here again, it's like taking a cold shower. If it works or not. Honey, sesame seeds, oils, hing, eggplants, so on and so on. Sweets, fried foods. Many people perform serious different types of meal-related austerities during this month. But one thing that's particularly helpful, give up your favorite food, whatever it is. Gulab jamuns or sweet potatoes or, you know, whatever it is. Give up your favorite food for the month, you know. And one should try to eat only once a day. And during the Ekadasi in the month, one should perform Nirjal Ekadasi and stay awake chanting japa. Most important, and this is a very applicable factor for us in this current technological age. Most important, do not criticize Vaishnavas or the Vedas. Do not find fault with others and be envious of them. This alone may be the biggest austerity for some of us to perform. All in all, the important thing to remember is our mood of devotion. We can take shelter of knowing that there are certain prayers for reciting that will give us some shelter. O Gopikas, by your mercy, may Radha and Krishna be pleased with me with my Kartik Vrata. O Janardana, O Damodar, O Devasha, you are all accompanied by Sri Radhika. During the month of Kartik, I will bathe every morning by your satisfaction. And then this is a very nice one when one takes any vow, particularly during this time. I am taking this vow before you, O Lord. By your grace, O Keshava, it will be undestroyed, even though I am less than a sudra. By your grace, may I follow it completely, O Janardana, my Lord. So, we know why it's done. We know the importance of doing it. We know what to do. What is the result of doing it? This is also given to us. One who performs Kartik Vrata, all sins flee from their heart. Anything that's still dirty in there, gone. The performance of 100 Vratas anywhere else is not equal to the performance of Kartik Vrata. One who performs Kartik Vrata, all the holy places live within your body. That means that at the end of Kartik, I can go to anybody that's taken this Vrata and take the dust from your feet, and it's just as good as if I went to all the holy places. It's right there in Shastra. So don't get mad at me when I do that. By the performance of Kartik Vrata, it gives one a million times the result of chanting Vedic mantras, doing different yatras to holy places, and performing any other type of vrata. Those who worship Damodar during this month very easily obtain Krishna Bhakti. This is the month that Dhruva Maharaj got the darshan of Krishna during Kartik. So, there we go. The why, the necessity, the way, and the result. This is a scientific process. So we take all of that, we apply it. Today is the day to begin whatever vrata we plan to perform, to execute that in a mood of devotion, in a mood of bhakti. And we'll finish there. If anyone's got some short questions, we'll try and do that. I have another engagement in less than an hour. Okay. Oh, over there, yes. I think the microphone's coming.
I was just wondering when you were talking about Lord Chaitanya when he was talking to Murari Gupta about Prakashananda Sarasvati, what did he mean when he said that he broke him into 1,000 pieces or something?
Say that again, I'm sorry.
When Lord Chaitanya was talking to, was it Murari Gupta?
Mm.
He said something like Prakashananda had broken into 1,000 pieces or something. What did he mean by that? Was it something to do with impersonalism?
I'm sorry, I'm still not getting the second. I apologize.
Okay, when Lord Chaitanya was speaking with Murari Gupta.
Yeah, Mahaprabhu was talking to Murari Gupta. Yeah.
Yes, and he mentioned at the beginning you were saying Prakashananda Sarasvati, is it?
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, this was before Prakashananda's conversion. Sorry, I've got it now, my apologies. This was before Prakashananda's conversion. And we know, of course, Prakashananda was a big Mayavadi. The Mayavadi principle, as I heard Prabhupada say this morning, is to diminish, to delete, to do away with the personality of Godhead. So this was part of Mahaprabhu revealing to Murari Gupta his divine position as the personality of Godhead, understanding everything that's going on, because Prakashananda was nowhere near Mayapur. But he understood what was happening, and he understood that he was revealing to Murari Gupta that this is going on, but one day he'll be delivered. Yeah. That's what he was referring to. Because Prakasananda's Mayavadi philosophy is to use the description, cut the personality of Godhead up, it doesn't exist. Yeah.
I have another question.
Mm.
Okay, so what all those reasons that you just gave at the end, what, I missed where that came from?
What, that story?
Oh,
on Kartik?
Yes.
Well, I quoted from 5 or 6 different sources, mostly from the Hari Bhakti Vilas and from the Kartika Mahatmya. Yeah.
Haribol.
Thank you for such a nice class. You also said that 5 days from today is when Damodar Leela actually happened.
Hmm.
What's the reference? Because in another class it said that it was happened in the day of Diwali. And I can send you that reference.
I don't know about that one.
Please elaborate.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, 5 days reference, please.
Well, a breakdown of the entire month of Kartik and what happens all the way through. That's where I got this from, I think. I can forward that to you. Yeah. All right, we'll finish there. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Murari Gupta, all glories to Kartik Vrata.